It's Saturday morning and time for the Coaches Show. An in-depth look at high school sports with the coaches and players behind the headlines on News Radio KWOS 950 and 104.5. Here's Missouri Hall of Fame sportscaster Kevin Kelly.
Well, good morning and welcome to the Coaches Show. We are joined by Susan Stegman, who is president and CEO of Special Olympics Missouri. Thought about you this week. We need to get the temperatures a little bit warmer for polar plunges coming up, don't we?
Oh, I don't know. Our polar bears are pretty used to this.
It's a little too cold for that right now, though, isn't it?
It is. Yesterday, there was a cop on top at the lake, and I think it was pretty miserable for those guys.
Took a look at your website. First of all, congratulations on that. It's a great website. I encourage everyone that wants to get some additional information about what Special Olympics Missouri is all about to go to your website. It's easy to navigate through and a lot of information. Congratulations on that.
Oh, thank you. That was actually one of the projects that we were able to do in spite of COVID while we were all working virtually and about on target to do that for this past year. And so we were able to unveil that as scheduled. And yes, it is much better, user-friendly, easier to find. So thank you for acknowledging that.
One of the things that I went through last night, took a look at the history. 1971, Missouri Special Olympics is incorporated as a 501c3. Is this your 50th year?
It is.
Wow. Yes. Congratulations on that.
Thank you. March 1st is actually the official day that we were incorporated, our first day in Missouri. 50 years. Yes.
And in 1996 was the first polar plunge as a fundraiser at the Lake of the Ozarks for you. So that's the 25th year this year for that.
It is, yes. We started those plunges at the lake, originally at the lake, and then now we hold them all around the state. There's about 11 this year that we're holding, and the reason for the freezing is the athletes of Special Olympics.
As we mentioned, it all started in 1971. How have you seen it grow over the 50-year period?
Well, I haven't been there personally for all 50 years, but I have been there about 30 of those years. Probably the biggest change has been around our athlete leadership and our health and wellness additions. So Special Olympics started and will always be a sport organization, first and foremost. But just like all athletes, you know, you really focus on the total athlete and the total person, not just the sport. So health, Special Olympics Incorporated, the movement, has been working in the health and wellness field for probably close to 15 years. And that's been the biggest change, I think, that's really helped our athletes become better educated, better advocates for their own health. And it's helped us to provide those programs or to be able to provide those programs for our athletes. Now, we don't have physicians or staff for that. We rely on volunteer clinicians who work with our athletes to provide the care they need. So they're doing a screening, and then they do follow-up care back with their own, in their own communities or with their own medical team back in their own communities.
Going out on the highway just outside of Jeff City, you have the Training for Life campus. It was hit by the tornado in 2019. You've been able to rebuild it. It's a great facility, isn't it?
It is, yes. We did, we built that in, I guess we opened in just late 18.
Mm-hmm.
And we're able to hold one of our sports camps as a result. That's what the real purpose for the Training for Life campus is. While it does house our offices, the important part of it is what we do around the programming there, which we barely had gotten to do one time, and it was a sports camp just kind of fashioned after the U.S. Olympic training facility where athletes would come to train and receive some specialized training in a unique setting, in a setting that's just for them. And so we were able to do one of those camps, and then we're getting ready for the spring, summer schedule for more camps, and the tornado hit, which was day 52 for me, taking over as president CEO.
Mm-hmm.
So then we had to find alternate location, move out, and that community was just great to support us during that. And there were many people who had to be supported as a result of the tornado damage. But then we physically moved back in about mid-June this year, last year. And we're able to start to think about how to come back after the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a process. We are all really excited to get to hold our camps and get into full programming post-pandemic.
And one of the things you've been able to do is virtual trainings, haven't you?
Right. We really did. Actually, went virtual pretty quick. Our team is very creative, and they started somewhat home programming, was what it was called, to stay connected to our athletes, because that was the biggest concern is, what are we going to, you know, we're such a hands-on event organization. We still want to stay in connection with our athletes. So the somewhat home programming was created in about 48 hours and really was to put together virtual education and activities to connect with our athletes, from cooking classes to yoga.
How have you been able to navigate through the pandemic?
Creatively, working with our team. It's been hard. It has been really hard. It's been hard for the athletes, and it's been hard for everybody through the pandemic to just stay connected and to feel a part of a community, which is so important to us. But we're coming through it, and we feel like we're seeing a light at the end of the tunnel, just like everybody else is. We had some very generous donors come forward with contributions that helped us immensely. We also were able to take advantage of the PPP loan, which was critical to us as a business. And nonprofits were able to take advantage of that as well. So that was the financial piece was a concern. But then just, again, the mental and the support for our athletes was really critical. And for our staff and volunteers, too. But priority, obviously, is always our athletes. But that was how we were trying to connect through those virtual programming. And so we couldn't do summer games, and that's one of the bigger, we have three state events, but summer games is one of the ones that most people think about when they think of Special Olympics. And so the timing was such that we couldn't do it, so we did virtual opening ceremonies and recreated the whole experience so that everyone could be together virtually. And that was very well received. About 2,000, I guess, participants that viewed that, and that was really fun to be a part of that. But then we were, obviously we're really ready to get back together, just like everybody else is.
Yeah. How are you dealing with it in terms of fundraisers? Because I know you have a number of fundraisers throughout the year. Have you had to, I would assume you've had to adjust those as well, haven't you?
Oh, we've probably half of our fundraisers have not been able to, been held, been canceled. And some of them went virtual, just like you've heard of others in the community. But our torch run, which is our law enforcement torch run, event went virtual as well, but was able to include the community and the state, other just general population, not just law enforcement officers. And so that was able to raise about $20,000. And then just recently we did the rally with Big Red merchandise sales, partnering with Coach Andy Reid in Bass Pro, that sold a select line of merchandise with his caricature on them. That helped a lot. I think in totality, that program brought in about $35,000.
Yeah, a special association with Kansas City Chiefs coach Andy Reid, don't you?
Right. Yes, he started partnering with us last year. Or I'm sorry, 2019. I forget it. Already 2021. Sometimes 2019 by producing a PSA with our athletes and invited them over to the Arrowhead Stadium and had a really cool experience for a few of the athletes and just encouraging Missourians and Chiefs Nation to support Special Olympics as a sport organization, in Missouri. So that was our first relationship with him. And then this year was the caricature merchandise. So we really appreciate his support, and the Chiefs fans have been really supportive in going out to Bass Pro and online to purchase that gear. And so who knows what's coming next, but we really do appreciate that relationship.
Susan, you have the state indoor games, I think, in St. Charles. You have the state summer games scheduled for Columbia and the state outdoor games here in Jefferson City. What's your schedule look like for this year? Are you going to be able to do those?
Well, we did. Our board approved a return to play protocol so that we can do so safely. And it's really monitoring are controlling the size of our gatherings, and then obviously we want to look at the cases and be aware of that through CDC protocols and such. But so we follow that, and so we were able to actually hold outdoor games last year, and that was really something that we needed to do, we wanted to do, and we did it very successfully. So we're following that same outline with our outdoor games and going to divide it into two different weekends so that we can keep it smaller, a group of athletes at each venue site. And then you mentioned summer games, and I skipped over that. So, yes, that is set for June 5th, and we're just going to do it on one day, so it'll be a scaled-down version, again, with the number of athletes being a lot less than we normally would have. Typically, we would have from maybe near 2,000 athletes, and we won't have anything near that size with summer games, mainly because our spring games and our spring season will be a lot different coming out of the pandemic.
Yeah, I know it's a great weekend in Jefferson City when you have the state outdoor games. Everyone enjoys it.
We love it too, and that is a great way to showcase our Training for Life campus, because we will have some events around that weekend. We'll be at our campus, and we also will hopefully be able to put a call out for volunteers to get involved too. But again, we have to kind of keep the event safe for not only our participants, but our volunteers.
Susan, someone that wants to donate time, talent, or treasures, how can they go about it?
Yeah, I love that, time, talent, and treasures. We need all of them, don't we? They can, well, right now you mentioned that the polar plunge season's going on. So you can decide to plunge at the Lake of the Ozarks. You can support a plunger. The Lake of the Ozarks plunge is next Saturday.
Right.
So you can go to somo.org/plunge. and register to participate in that. There's a minimum of $75 that we ask each polar bear to donate or raise. Today, you can go to Hy-Vee and get some cupcakes and support Zach Paul. He's one of our super plungers. He's doing that fundraiser again, and thanks to Hy-Vee for that. And you can also go to our website and donate, or you can come to the Training for Life campus and drop off a check, 305 Special Olympics Drive.
Will you be a participant in the polar plunge next week?
I am not I'm not planning to participate, put it that way. Sometimes I get caught up in it. Last year I had no intention of plunging, but I went down to the lake to support the super plungers and decided to plunge with them, so I did. So I wrote my check, and you know, I had my suit with me, so I was prepared. So went in and came out, got that nice warm sweatshirt, and celebrated with the super plungers. But I'm not planning on it, but I am going to be at one of the sites every weekend when we have a plunge. I'll be there.
Susan, thank you for your time this morning, and continued success with Special Olympics Missouri. Have a good weekend.
Well, thank you, Kevin. I appreciate the opportunity to share the story of Special Olympics.
Thank you very much for being with us.
All right. You have a good weekend.
You too. Thanks. Susan Stegman, President and CEO of Special Olympics Missouri, and we're back with more after the break.
The closer you get to retirement, the more questions you might have. Is 2021 the year you can retire? It may be time to prepare what you've saved in your retirement plans to work for you the rest of your life. Greg Frank at Missouri Hills Wealth Management will answer any questions you might have. Get started today at MissouriHillsWealth.com. Let Greg strive to make your retirement everything you imagined. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA SIPC.
It doesn't happen often, but it's like a second Christmas morning. It's tax refund time. Turn that chunk of change from Uncle Sam into an all-new bathroom from Bath & Home Transformations. They're the only full-time bath remodeler in Jefferson City specializing in grout-free systems. And ask about 12-month interest-free financing. Quicker, nicer, and easier on the wallet than the tax man.
Hi, this is Chuck with Bath & Home Transformations. Don't move, improve. Visit us online at bathtrans.com.
Attention all gun collectors and hunting enthusiasts. This weekend, February 20th through the 21st in Clinton at the Benson Convention Center, RK Shows presents the Gun and Knife Show. A large variety of vendors with guns, hunting supplies, military surplus, and outdoor gear. Thousands of guns and wholesale ammunition, Saturday 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Sunday 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Don't miss the big Gun and Knife Show this weekend. Get your tickets now at rkshows.com.
Itty, bitty, little, disgusting, icky feet. Six of them, skittering by your head while you sleep, nestling down against your skin and diving in for a bite. That's how bedbugs live, you know, off of you. Bedbugs are like the vampires of the arthropods, drinking your blood while you sleep. vampires, except not like the sexy ones in those old-time movies. So it seems you have two choices. Burn every bed and pillow you own in a gigundous fire, or call your friend Steve.
I'm Steve with Steve's Pest Control. If you want your bed bugs removed, eradicated, or just plain old-fashioned dead, we're going to solve your pest problem. I guarantee it.
From the tiniest mites to the meanest moles, call Steve's Pest Control. Online at stevespestcontrol.com.
Now you got a friend in the pest control business, Steve's Pest Control.
I'm Robbie with Zimmer Communications. To be a top-performing seller, you really just need two things, confidence and hard work. And you don't think you have to be confident right when you start. You know, when you work with a team at Zimmer, everybody is on your side. Everybody is teaching you, and you're going to become a subject matter expert. You're going to become one of the best when you're a part of Zimmer Communications. When you get that confidence, you can't be afraid of hard work. You have to be willing to put in the hours to make yourself a top performer.
If you think you're up for the challenge, apply now at ZimmerCommunications.com.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
Welcome back to the Coaches Show. We are joined now by Calvary Lutheran head basketball coach Bo Monson. Good morning, Coach.
Morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Doing pretty good.
All right. Tell us a bit about your basketball team, because you have districts coming up next week. How has it been as far as your season's concerned? And tell us some of your players that are having good years.
Yeah, so started out the year pretty strong. Here lately, you kind of hit a little bit of a slump. Kind of lost five in a row here, but 8-10 on the season, and kind of tough when you look at a record like that when, you have six of those losses came at the hands of three teams, lost twice to each of them. So, those four other losses, I think if we played those teams again, I think we could have gotten them. Lost by, single digits, I think, in pretty much every single one of them. So, tough losses, took one on the chin. Took one on the chin last night. It played well, extremely well. And last couple games, getting them playing basketball again. Kind of through that stretch, interesting time that we've had lately, but we got a couple players that have been having some pretty good years. As senior, kind of been our leader, kind of a big guy down low. He's kind of played a stretch four times as well too, and kind of been our go-to players in situations. But really this year we've had a lot of players that have kind of just been stepping up different times and kind of more of a well-rounded team as far as scoring goes in the games.
And last night you took on Prairie Home Bunston, lost a tough game, 65-60 final score.
It was. I think we led the entire game, tied after the first is what it looks like, 14-14. But after that, we pretty much led the whole way, and then lost it in the fourth quarter there, and lost the fourth quarter 12-20. We went cold, didn't really hit much, and missed some big shots when Prairie Home Bunston. They made the shots when they needed them to.
Right back at it this afternoon. You'll be at Russellville to end the regular season.
Absolutely, yep. Kind of looking at film, some of the things we should match up pretty well against them. Looking for the boys, mainly, like I said, coming off a five-loss streak here, we just need to kind of turn something around and get a win to end the season on a win, and really kind of look to use this game to clean up some things. On our side of things, defensive end and offensive side of the ball for going into districts next week.
Scheduling this year, how have you been able to navigate through that with the pandemic?
Yeah, so really it seems like we haven't been hit as bad with the pandemic side of things. We did have one game early in the season that got postponed to later in the season, but then we had one team that canceled their season about halfway through, so we were kind of scrambling to try and find a couple games here and there. But those games that got rescheduled because of those then ended up getting canceled later because of snow.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more so the weather this year that hit us. We were supposed to play four games this last week, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and Monday, Tuesday got snowed out, and Thursday did, and then we had to push our conference game to Friday, and then that's when Russellville got pushed to today. So a lot of moving around, but mainly because of snow more so than the virus.
Averaging about 62 points a ball game going into the game this afternoon at Russellville. Are you pleased with that number?
Yeah, pretty pleased. Like I said, kind of averaged around the team, kind of pretty well balanced. I'll take 62 a game. I know they can put up a little more than that if we need to. Really, it's the defensive side of things that we need to kind of lock down and kind of hold our opponents in games that we can't get in a run and gun with them and trade buckets every single time. Scoring, like I said, the last couple games we've because of weather and things, haven't practiced really. We've had, I think, one practice in the last 2 weeks. So that always hurts, you know, going to Jamestown and then Prairie Home Bunston, both going into those games and not having any practice to be able to get shots up. Scoring kind of dipped a little bit, and, you know, like I said, you didn't hit some of the shots there whenever we needed them to. But we can go out there and we can score when we need to, and I'm looking to just kind of get them back on the court again to get that rhythm back into them.
We're going to talk about the district in just a moment, but I wanted to talk about the fact that you played for and coached with Coach Buffington. What'd you learn from him?
Absolutely. Really, first off, just absolutely amazing individual. Really just on the court, off the court presence and you know, the players' lives whenever I played for him was huge. And that was something that I really tried to take away from playing underneath him and then also coaching underneath of him these last 2 years, kind of learning how to do that on the court, off the court, with those boys and trying to make a difference in their lives rather, you know, than just being a basketball coach for them. You know, definitely having him as someone that I can call, you know, after games or even just kind of throughout the course of a season to use as a mentor for different things, you know, not necessarily just plays, X's and O's type things, but just in general with different chemistry of the team or, you know, things like that, or just even things off the floor. Definitely huge to have somebody like that that you played under and coached under and have been close with for a long time.
That must have been very special for you because you played for him and then you got a chance to coach with him.
Oh, yeah. I think from the day I graduated, he kept talking to me and tried to get me to come back and coach with him. And I always kind of shook my head, you know, no, coach, you know, not really. I don't want to really get back into that and things. And then really after got out of college and things, I went ahead and came back and really glad I did, you know, just having that experience with him and, you know, we enjoyed our time, you know, kind of complimented each other a couple years, seeing different things. And then, you know, when the opportunity came, whenever he was retiring to kind of step up, he really encouraged me to go for it and take over that head coach position.
All right, district next week, Class 2 District, 8 top seed is Smithton. Lincoln is 2, Eugene is 3. You will take on Sacred Heart Tuesday at 6 p.m. They are the number 4 seed. It's a road game for you. About a minute before we have to take a break at the bottom of the hour, what about that ball game on Tuesday?
Yeah, so I haven't got a whole lot of chance to look too much at them. You know, of course, with 4 of the 6 teams being from kind of out west, we don't really play some of them throughout the course of the year. Really, the only one that we played, you know, actually twice is Eugene. So kind of hard to, you know, gauge off of who we've played, and there's not really any common opponents between them. Watched a little bit of film on them and things, and, you know, it looks like we could, you know, put up a fight against them, but really, you know, kind of tough district, you know, as we were going through voting process and things too, you know, the kind of the 2 seed was up for a grabs, and there was 3 teams that could have gotten that 2 seed between Lincoln, Eugene, and Sacred Heart. So I know whoever we play with that, you know, obviously Sacred Heart is who we got. You know, it was going to be a tough matchup no matter what we got.
Coach, thanks for the visit. Good luck today at Russellville and in the districts next week.
Absolutely. Yeah, I appreciate the phone call.
Calvary Lutheran head basketball coach Bo Monson back with more after the break.
The voice of conservative talk radio.
I love you, Rush. And I am a conservative and not a feminazi because of you.
Rush Limbaugh.
You're a voice of reason in a time of seems like mega darkness here.
Gone, but never forgotten.
I'd first like to thank you for the free education, for your commitment to America, and for the memory.
Forever Rush.
I want to personally thank Rush Limbaugh for changing my life.
104.5 News Radio 950 KWOS.
The closer you get to retirement, the more questions you might have. Is 2021 the year you can retire? It may be time to prepare what you've saved in your retirement plans to work for you the rest of your life. Greg Frank at Missouri Hills Wealth Management will answer any questions you might have. Get started today at MissouriHillsWealth.com. Let Greg strive to make your retirement everything you imagined. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA SIPC.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
Elias Lady Crusaders head basketball coach Garrett Wiggins joins us now on the Coaches Show. Busy, busy, busy for the Lady Crusaders.
Yeah, it really has been. You know, we just lost a tough one in St. Louis to the Class 4 number 1 team, Vachon. So, yeah, we wake up this morning and we're about to about to have team breakfast and head to St. Joseph, Missouri and take on Lincoln College Prep at 2 o'clock today.
So three games in 3 days. Thursday night, a victory over Capital City by a score of 84-20. Let's talk about that for just a second. You had a 30-point first quarter in that ball game.
Yeah, we came out the gate hot and played really well, and we're knocking down a lot of shots, moving the ball around really good and playing good defense, and that's kind of how we went into the game wanting to focus on the half-court defense and make sure that we play really, really good there and get transition points from good defense instead of having to set up a half-court offense.
I think you had three players in double figures in the basketball game. Lindsay Byers leads the way with 19 points for you.
Yeah, she played really well. You know, she came out the gate hot and was scoring, you know, in the paint and then kind of moved it out from there and hit a couple jump shots. You know, Kylie, I think, had 17, and Adeline Kelling, the big freshman, had I think 13, if memory serves right. But, you know, all three of those girls have been steady scorers and been the ones to put the ball through the hoop and have done really well.
Special honor for Lindsay this week. Tell me about it.
Yeah, it was. You know, it's kind of came out of nowhere. I wasn't paying attention, I guess. But the McDonald's All-American nomination, that's huge. I can't remember the last time somebody at Helias has gotten one of those for girls basketball. So that's a huge honor. You know, every kid growing up watches that McDonald's All-American game, whether you're, you know, boy side or the girl side. So that is a huge honor, and she deserves it for sure.
You know, and well represented in Jefferson City, not only Lindsay Byers, but the Jefferson City Lady Jays with Sarah Lithicum along with Hannah Nilges.
Yeah, you know, that just shows the level of basketball that's being played here right in Jefferson City with, you know, like you said, Hannah and Lithicum. You know, those two are really good basketball players. And you know, and you could probably throw Kylie Bernsketter in that mix too with Sarah Lincecum and Hannah Lincecum both. You know, it's just really good basketball being played, you know, literally within a mile of each other. And it's really good to see, and it's representing Jeff City and the CMAC really well.
Let's spend a moment. Tell me about these two basketball players, and Lindsay Byers and Kylie Bernsketter, and what they bring to the floor for you each day.
Yeah, there's the consistency. I know what I'm going to get out of them. They've shown me that since their freshman year. And not only are they really, really good basketball players, they're really good people. They're people that you hope stick around the program for a long time and want to come back and watch basketball games. They're two special players, and they're talented. You know, Kylie's going to be an outside shooter and also get to the rim, or Lindsay's going to dissect you, you know, with her brain, and then, you know, score the basketball too with her left hand a lot of times. And it's hard for people to guard because she's so dynamic in that aspect. But both of them bring something different to the table, and it's hopefully going to be a special year, and those two are going to be a huge part of it.
You know, you talk about talented basketball players, but, you know, another key ingredient as far as that's concerned is loving the game of basketball. Would you agree?
Oh yeah, for sure. You know, and that goes for every single girl that I have on the roster. You can tell that they do love it and they do want to get better, and they're very coachable and they want to learn. And that's golden to a coach. Anytime you've got to, you know, try and motivate your players, you're probably not going to have a successful year. Where, you know, I've been fortunate where, you know, the 10 girls that I have on varsity have really bought in and dug in and wanted to get better, and you can see the progress each day, which makes it really, really nice.
Yeah, you take a look at your schedule, and going into the game today, you were 14-4. Your losses have come to great basketball programs. Two losses to the Jefferson City Lady Jays. They have only one loss on the season. You lost to Boonville only by 4 points, and Boonville 18-2 at last check. And then, as you mentioned, you went to St. Louis last night and took on the top-ranked team in Class 4 in the Vashon Wolverines. So you've played a very good schedule, and those losses have come to great programs.
Yeah, they have. And you know, I can't hang your head a whole lot, I guess, you know, when you look at it like that. However, I am waiting for this program to get that, you know, that significant win, that one win that and propel us into districts, and maybe that'll happen in districts. I know this team can do it, so we're gonna try again today. We're still trying to get a full schedule for Monday. We lost our home game Monday, so I told the girls I do not want to play basketball schedule that's not full. So we're gonna keep trying. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But we're gonna try again today and see if we can get a win.
How have you been able to move through the pandemic as far as your scheduling is concerned? Because I know Tom Gwynn's the activities director over at Helias, and he does a great job with you and Coach Rothweiler in trying to get games on the schedule when other games have been canceled. It's a lot of work,
yeah,
isn't it?
Oh, it is. You know, me and Tom were talking the other day. I told him, you know, this season feels like a water bottle that you keep filling up with water, but you can't find the hole that's in it. It's a very, very weird season, but, you know, Tom Gwynn has been absolutely phenomenal with trying to schedule things and me texting him on a Sunday or a Saturday or a Friday afternoon. We don't have school. I'm sure I've bothered the heck out of him, but he's helped me tremendously and has allowed me to kind of search for games too. And we've gotten a couple of them done, and, you know, hopefully we can try one more and then never have to do this again.
You know, when you take a look at it from the standpoint of practicing and getting ready for a team on your schedule, let's say it's a practice on Monday and you're scheduled to play someone on Wednesday, does it change your whole outlook with regards to preparation because you really don't know really until Wednesday that you're going to play that team? Do you focus more on what you do well in practice versus trying to figure out a game plan against that opponent?
Yeah, you know, normally what we'll do is we'll watch film on a team and you know, see what they do. But there's not a whole lot of simulating that goes on in practice just because, like you said, we're trying to focus on, you know, what we can do to get better. Now, we might try to simulate one girl here and there if we're going in the half-court offense, but, you know, we're focused on Helias Catholic, you know, basketball and seeing where we can improve. And, you know, when we play the game, that tells us, you know, that night, hey, this is what we need to work on in practice. We need to get better at this and shore this up.
It was a trip last night, as we mentioned, to St. Louis against Vashon, and Vashon wins the ball game by a score of 54-38. You take a look at that basketball team you played last night. They played great defense. Going into that ball game, they were giving up just about 34 points a game.
Yeah, they really did. You know, and I think I don't think we were 100% prepared to play that game in the first few minutes. They kind of took us by surprise. But, you know, they are quick and athletic, and they get up and down the floor really well and have good hands on defense. Got the ball away from us a few times, but I am proud of the way we fought back in the second half. You know, I think we got it down to 8 and 11 there for a while. You know, they kind of took the lead back over, but I am proud of the fight that we showed in the second half. We've got to be able to put four quarters, you know, together and start fast against a really, really good team. I feel like we've kind of started slow against, you know, top-ranked teams, so we need to try to figure that out.
And we mentioned the fact that you've been busy playing the game Thursday, went to St. Louis last night. You will head to St. Joe Benton for a Missouri Hall of Fame Classics game against Lincoln College Prep this afternoon at 2 o'clock. So you're headed out on the road very quickly, aren't you?
Yeah, we are. I think we're going to stop by Perkins and get some breakfast and then hit the road. Have plenty of time to stop and stretch the legs a little bit and roll into St. Joseph and see if we can't get another win against Lincoln College Prep, another really good team.
Yeah, tell us a bit about this club that you'll take on this afternoon.
You know, they're almost a spitting image of Vashon, except I think they're a little bigger. I think they got a little more size. I don't think they're going to be as quick, but I think the big thing we're going to have to do is take that pressure that we had in the second half against Vashon and apply that to the whole game against Lincoln College Prep. I think the girls are a little hungry after last night. I don't think they were happy that they lost or played the way they did. So I hope to see a brand-new Lady Crusader basketball team today.
All right, a couple numbers and get your thoughts on these. Going into the Vashon game last night, you'd won 7 of your last 9 ball games, averaging about 62 points a ball game on offense, giving up about 43 points a game on defense, so that's a margin of victory of 19 points. Your thoughts on those numbers?
Yeah, you know, I think it's just a testament to the girls and how hard they've worked. You know, we're really moving the ball well and distributing the ball to different scores. I have to attest a lot of it to our defense, and Coach Wirick has done a great job helping me practice, change roles and paint drills, and I think that stuff has really bought into the girls, and they're applying it to the games now. Because anytime you play really good half-court defense and you get steals and they lead to layups, I think, those numbers that you talked about is a big part of that, with transition points, so we don't have to set up a half-court offense. We can just go shoot layups, which is, the easiest shot in basketball. So I attribute it all to the girls. I think the energy and the level that they are accustomed to playing to now has benefited them, and the numbers are why reflection of that.
Start of the season to this point, what's the biggest difference you've seen in your basketball team?
Just growth. I think we've grown from, especially, the four freshmen and even the two seniors, kind of pulling them along. And I've got, huge success from both the juniors, J.C. Bouchard and Sammy Emke, have always gave us good minutes with a lot of energy. And then, Micah and Brooke Reuter, too, and the sophomore group, both starting. Just knowing what to do and making correct decisions where early in the year. And a lot of basketball teams in the state early in the year are making a lot of mistakes. So you want to see growth. And it's good to see it was my team that I think our focus is in the right place. And we're looking forward to next week and a half.
Coach, let's talk a moment about districts, because I think some people will assume that because the Helias Crusaders are in Class 6, the Helias Lady Crusaders are in Class 6, you are, in fact, in Class 5, but you take a look at your district. You're the number 3 seed in the district, and it has in it Rolla, the number 1 seed, at 13-5, the number 2 seed West Plains at 20-3. You were the number 3 seed at 14-4. Marshfield is the number 4 seed at 17-4. And Camdenton, right at the 500 level, is the number 5 seed in the district. The reason I believe that Rolla's the number 1 seed over West Plains is they beat them head-to-head February the 4th, 54-47. This is a heck of a district.
Yeah, it really is. And there was some jostling for a position for that number 1 seed. When you talk about common opponents, we didn't get the opportunity to play Rolla. They unfortunately went in quarantine a couple times right before we were supposed to play them, so another common opponent would have been St. James, who we did beat by 15 earlier in the year, who then turned around and beat Rolla about 3 weeks ago, I guess it was, 2 or 3 weeks ago. So you never know what you're going to get in those district seed meetings. You kind of go into it with the idea that you might not get what you want. So, we're going to play who's put in front of us, and I think the girls are motivated.
March the 1st, you would meet West Plains, I believe, at West Plains at 5:30, and the district title game is March the 5th. And, of course, that's the first week of March, and you still have basketball to play before then, so we won't talk a lot about the district. But I just wanted to make people aware of the fact that this is a loaded district.
Yeah, it really is. For the longest time, West Plains and us were 1 and 2. West Plains number 1, Elias number 2. I would venture to guess probably majority of the season was like that, and Rolla has always been in the top 10 and top 6 around there. So, you throw Marshfield, you forget about them. They've got an outstanding record too. So, very, very tough district, and it's gonna be a lot of fun, And hopefully, the idea is the reason why our schedule's so tough, and we're playing the Vachon, Lincoln College Preps, in Jefferson City twice, is going to help us prepare for a tough district.
This afternoon, you'll be at St. Joe Benton as you will take on Lincoln College Prep. Afternoon tip-off of around 2 o'clock. Give us a number 1 key for that ball game for you today.
Effort. Effort and energy. We've got to bring that right out of the gate and not wait until the second half, until we make adjustments or whatever. We're going to have to make adjustments on the fly, and all 10 girls are going to have to bring a lot of effort and finish around the rim. I think that kind of hurt us last night. we missed a few easy buckets last night that could have got us a closer game and made it a different game. So those are the things I look for us to do today.
We'll let you go get breakfast. Appreciate your time this morning. Good luck, Coach.
All right. Thanks, Kelly. I appreciate it.
All right. Helias Lady Crusaders head basketball coach Garrett Wiggins. We're back with more after the break. It's the Coach's Show on KWOS.
The closer you get to retirement, the more questions you might have. Is 2021 the year you can retire? It may be time to prepare what you've saved in your retirement plans to work for you the rest of your life. Greg Frank at Missouri Hills Wealth Management will answer any questions you might have. Get started today at MissouriHillsWealth.com. Let Greg strive to make your retirement everything you imagined. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA SIPC.
Trying to find a local restaurant with good fried chicken can be like trying to sink a basket from half court. You cross your fingers and hope for the best. Fortunately, there's Nick's Family Restaurant, featuring family-style food and seriously the best fried chicken in Jeff City. Check out their Facebook page to see what people are ordering and saying. Open Sunday through Friday for lunch and dinner. Introduce your family to their family at Nick's Family Restaurant, Village Square on East McCarty in Jeff City.
Brady's Glass of Jefferson City is a proud member of the HBA Central Missouri, and we're one of the pros bringing the HBA Home Show to the Capitol Mall. Meet us there.
The HBA is filling the Capitol Mall for the 2021 Home Show. Kitchens, bathrooms, flooring, windows, glass furniture, landscaping, and more.
Building new.
Remodeling.
This is the event to get great ideas from the pros. Don't miss the Super Booth.
Where should you be now?
The HBA Home Show.
Presented by Fortified Roofing.
Admission is free.
This week is National FFA Week. Missouri FFA has thousands of members, and it is continuing to grow. FFA continues to help the next generation rise up to meet the challenges of feeding a growing population by helping its members to develop their own unique talents and explore their interests in a broad range of career pathways through their expertise in agricultural education. Today's FFA members are future biologists, chemists, veterinarians, engineers, and entrepreneurs. Have a great week from your tractor guys at Rosebud Tractor.
A single job post online can get hundreds of applicants. So you can't just be qualified. You've got to get lucky somehow and hope your resume jumps off the screen and screams, "Please pick me." Not anymore. At MidMoHires.com, searching is simple. Click through local companies and categories, and when you find the best fit for you, apply. It really is the easiest way to find your next job. MidMoHires.com. Local companies hiring great local people. Start your search today at MidMoHires.com.
Blogs, ebooks, videos, webinars, podcasts, white papers, infographics. Businesses who use inbound marketing get more than double the lead growth of businesses who don't. Because 95% of buyers research before they buy. It works like a virtual team of sales agents building trust with those potential buyers 24/7. And Fuse 32 is the team of marketing experts who know how to make that virtual team work for you. Attract, engage, and delight with Fuse 32. Light the fuse. Bring the boom.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
Capital City Cavaliers head basketball coach Darren Young joins us now on the Coaches Show. Coach, you're supposed to play a basketball game last night. Didn't happen, did it?
No, there was a water main break at Jeff City High School, so unfortunately we had to reschedule a game for next week. So, you know, it's with this, the craziness of the year, it was only fitting for something else to add to the madness. So.
That was what I was going to talk about next. Is if, first of all, you've had to navigate with your schedule through the pandemic, then the weather, and now something not related to either one of them happened to you on Friday.
Yeah, you know, I try to use every experience as a learning opportunity, but not only, you know, my guy for myself, but our team as well. And, you know, we always preach to our players to control the controllables. And obviously, with the weather, the pandemic, and, you know, water main break, I mean, the best, you know, what we try to focus on is, you know, as a coaching staff, what can we still do to get our players prepared to play games and even just be good, you know, human beings. So we really focused on a couple things. We focused on, number one, making sure that our grades stay up and we're staying on top of, you know, things, that assignments that we have in the classroom, and even making sure they're watching film, just trying to be, you know, the best students they can in both facets, as athletes and as, you know, academic scholars.
You haven't played a basketball game since February the 6th, have you?
No, we have not. You know, it's one of those things where as a coach you try, when you're doing your scheduling, to kind of have a balance to where there's some break in between. But I, you know, even though we've had a break, I'm still pretty confident in the way that we prepare our guys and the constant routine that we have, that as long as we stay up on our conditioning when we do get chances to, you know, to practice and things like that, I think we'll be fine.
Two games scheduled for you next week, and that's the last week before we head into districts. You come into the week with a mark of 11-10, won three basketball games last year in your first year on the varsity level. So congratulations, an increase of at least 8 wins from the first year to the second year. And I think we've seen you play a couple of times, and we've been impressed with your basketball team.
Well, thank you. And, you know, a lot of those games that we lost were relatively close ones. And, you know, it's one of those things where as we try to grow the amount of success we have, it's learning from, you know, those close contests, what can we do to end up on the winning side of those? And we've constantly, and my staff does an outstanding job of, you know, constantly educating and empowering our guys on how can we prepare better in order to be on the winning end of those situations. But I'm confident in terms of where we're heading next week and even just as a program as a whole.
Yeah, you've played a good schedule, too, taking a look at it last night. Again, played Smithton, which is 15-2, Stratford's 19-5. The Fatima Comets, Ryan Robertson's got a very good ball club out in Westphalia. They're 16-5, and some of their losses, a couple of them at least, have been to the Blair Oaks Falcons. Warrensburg, 14-4, Herman, 14-7, Helias, 16-4. You played a good schedule.
Yes, we have, and all those teams, you know, I was, you know, grateful for the opponents that we've had, because they've all had different styles of play. And, you know, when teams, when you look at postseason success, it's teams that are very versatile in terms of how they can scheme and defend. And I think that, you know, the preparation we've had from the various opponents are going to definitely help us out here as we come to a very, very important stretch. I mean, obviously the most important stretch of the season. So I'm really excited to see how we handle this stretch of games here coming up.
As we mentioned, last week of the regular season is next week. You will have a ball game rescheduled from last night on Wednesday night up at the Fleming Field House. You'll take on the Jefferson City Jays, and I believe then you have a Thursday game against the Dave Smith Cotton. The next week is districts. What do you like about your basketball team heading into those final 2 weeks?
Well, here's what I do like about it. When I go back, and granted we've only had one day of practice, but I think that our team, you know, we look at our schedule, we've been competitive in every single game that we've played in. And what's really helped us out here lately is guys are starting to really see the benefits of their preparation. You know, when guys are getting extra shots up and they see, okay, if I put in the work, you know, prior to the game, that's going to yield better performance, you know, during the game, their confidence is definitely rising. You know, my girlfriend tells me all the time, you know, when you prepare for things, it makes it a whole lot easier to perform, you know, in those game situations. And I feel good about it. I've had a lot more guys stand after to get extra shots and shooting free throws. So I feel really good just in terms of the mental confidence that we have going into this stretch of games here, because that's going to be huge. You know, you're going to have to rely on your preparation and grit to win ball games in the postseason. So I like where we're at right now. And our guys were ready to play yesterday. They were jumping up and down on the bus. They couldn't wait to play. So I definitely think that adds a little bit more fuel to fire come Wednesday night.
You guys can shoot the three, can't you?
We can, you know. And I think that I told them, I said, I've never told anybody on our team, you know, that they can't shoot. My thing is, if you're going to take shots, make sure it's ones that you prepared yourself to take. And like I said, our guys have done a much better job this year of coming in the mornings, staying after school. And I have, like I said, my staff, one of my assistants, Coach Dunnett, well, all of them actually are very willing. I mean, these guys come in and they give up their Saturdays for guys to come in and get, you know, extra shots. And it makes a huge difference when you talk about their actual in-game performance, you know. So I'm very grateful for them. And like I said, I feel really good about where we're going to be here in the next week or so.
You know, when you talk to basketball coaches, they talk about practice from the standpoint of you practice and you always try to get better each day with regards to how you defend. You can always be a better team defensively.
Right. And, you know, I look at another assistant, Coach Hillis. He keeps stats. We track everything. You know, we track efficiency. We track 50-50 balls, all those things that equate, like you said, to success, and particularly on the defensive end. And one of the things that we're really trying to do a better job of as we get close out the season here is just rebounding the basketball. You know, and we've talked about how to develop the desire to want to pursue the basketball, because like you said, the defense is going to win games, and the obviously the most crucial point of that is one, stopping a team, but then our deficiency has been just securing a rebound. So we've really made that a point of emphasis here, you know, the last week or so, last couple weeks in the films that we've showed them.
Coach, appreciate your time this morning, and we will see you on Wednesday night at the Fleming Fieldhouse as you take on the Jefferson City Jays. Appreciate your time this morning.
All right, no problem. You have a good rest of the day. Stay warm.
You too, Coach. Thanks a lot. Capital City Cavaliers head basketball coach Darren Young. Again, Wednesday night we'll have the broadcast for you right here on KWOS, 7:15 with the pregame show, 7:30 with the play-by-play, as it will be the Jefferson City Jays hosting the Capital City Cavaliers. And then on Friday night, we will be over at the Rankers Fieldhouse, final game of the regular season, a key Central Missouri Activities Conference basketball game as well, as it will be the Helias Crusaders hosting the Bruins from Columbia Rockbridge. Quickly, last night, a couple of final scores. It was Blair Oaks over School of the Osage last night, 90-48. Luke Northweather with 27 points, now over 1,000 career points at Blair Oaks. Quinn Cushion had 17 in the win. The Blair Oaks Lady Falcons over California by a score of 44-38. Confluence Prep Academy 81, Helias 67. Vishon over the Helias Lady Crusaders 54-38. We'll see you next week on The Coach's Show.
News Radio 950 KWOS and on FM at 104.5 KWOS Jefferson City.